Now we're going to change direction again. So we've had the three interviews, or we've had two, and we're now going to do three. We're talking to Lee from the Upper Yarra Historical Society. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you, Alan. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, there's a few things we want to talk to you about, but first of all, how long have you been involved with the Upper Yarra Historical Society?
Yeah, I joined as a pretty young kid at about 11 years old, which is pretty unusual.
Were your mum and dad there and took you along or what?
No, not at all. I just had a keen interest in history, and I think that Yarra Junction, there wasn't too much to do in Yarra Junction as an 11-year-old boy.
Yep.
So Sunday morning, the one thing that you could go and do was wander down the museum at lunchtime and play around with a bit of rusty old machinery and chat to a few old blokes down there. It was, quite good fun.
All right, so I've got to ask you, how long has the actual museum been going?
The museum opened in 1972, so the Historical Society started in 1965 in Warburton, and was known then originally as the Warburton and Yarra Valley Historical Society.
Right, but they didn't have any premises or anything.
No, they were just meeting at Green Gables or at the Old Mechanics Institute at Warburton.
Yep.
So obviously by about 1969, they were made aware that the old Yarra Junction Railway Station was available for use. And with the historical connections to the station building at Yarra Junction was the original Lilydale building, built in 1888. And moved to Yarra Junction in 1914. So the building that's just become disused at Lilydale is the second building. So Lilydale has three buildings that still exist. The first one is at Yarra Junction, and both the second and third are obviously now at Lilydale. So,
I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but was it knocked down or was it transported sort of in sections?
No, it was knocked down. It was sort of turned into an IKEA flat pack and then reassembled up there in slightly different configuration.
So who did that? Just volunteers?
No, it was the railways. So it was done by the railways when the railways were running. So yep. Yarra Junction had grown to be the second largest timber-stopping railway station in the world by the 1920s.
Had it?
Yeah, it was only surpassed by Seattle in America by the volume of timber being brought out of the Powtown Forest and Britannia Creek Forest predominantly. So it needed a larger building to accommodate for the extra staff that was on site working the station, and that was the most convenient building around the railways could find to put there.
Sounds good to me. All right, so, and over the years, like I've been down there once or twice, in fact, I think years ago I actually did a broadcast from there, you've expanded what you've got, haven't you?
Yeah.
And is that mainly donations?
Everything in the society at the museum has been donated. We do not buy anything. We don't need to. We have a surplus of stock as it is. Everything's been donated. Most of what is in the collection now would have been in the collection by the mid-1980s and had been donated and collected by the local community.
Because that's terrific, because very often history is lost like that, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
A lot of people take stuff to the tip and I always reckon if you could actually go through a tip from the 1950s, you'd find a huge amount of really good stuff there.
Yeah, they'd be full of treasure.
Yeah, people just dumped them.
Yeah.
And I know a couple of times I've been through museums and that sort of thing, is that when we get... when you see stuff, you think, oh, I went with my dad and dumped that down the tip.
And look, the museum was rebuilt about 10 years ago. We had a major rebuild of the original building, which gave us the chance to empty the museum out and then reorganise it. So the original setup of the museum was everything that was donated was jammed into a display somewhere, so it was very full. It was very much the 1960s, 70s style of museum.
Yeah.
After that, we certainly didn't want to become a modernist museum with two or three items in a room sitting on a plinth, but we certainly have decanted the amount of items within the displays because it was over the top.
Yep.
Which of course means we've got a lot of stuff in storage.
Yeah. Which are the plans to sort of have a revolving?
We do try to change some of the displays at least once a year, but it's a big demand on a small volunteer group.
Yep.
So we do it as often as we possibly can.
So I've got to ask you before we move on, because I've got to take a break in a minute. What hour? How often do you open, and what hours?
So we're open every Sunday from 10 till 4, and Wednesdays from 11 till 3. So we've only just started to open on Wednesdays again. Obviously, yep. Due to COVID, we lost a few of our older members.
Yep.
Just not willing to do the volunteer hours so much anymore and expose themselves.
Well, I was hoping you didn't mean they'd fallen off the branch.
No, they haven't fallen off the branch. So, just got other commitments now. So, so we've reduced the hours on Wednesdays, but Wednesdays and Sundays are our main days.
Right. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with more. Now, Lee, one of the things that you said that this whole historical society and museums all run by volunteers. Are you always looking for new volunteers to get involved?
I think, like every volunteer organisation, we are always chasing down volunteers, and we'll take anyone that walks through the gate willing to put their hand up for the job.
And if you start at 11, so, well, I guess OH&S, they wouldn't let you do a lot at 11 these days, would it?
Oh, no, we don't worry about that too much.
So.
Oh,
don't say that on there.
No, you're fine with, we're all very, you know, covered with that stuff. So there's no great OHS issues on site. As long as you don't fall off the edge of the platform.
All right. Now, you've had a program that was supposed to go on last year.
Yes.
That unfortunately, for some reason, didn't go on. And it's not going to go on its original form, but there's something new, like there is a program. So can you tell us about that, please?
So we've got the Step Into the Past program coming up, which is a walk through Warburton. It'll have some small theatrics put to the walk. There'll be three little theatrics on there. The company doing these is a local group at Warburton called the Mad Hatter Theatrics Group.
Need to talk to them. We should have them in one day.
Yeah, great little group. They do some interesting stuff up there in Warby. Of course, they've got the theatre up there at Warburton that they predominantly run out of. This here, they'll have three different little snippets, I suppose, of history that they'll do.
On the side of the walk?
As you walk through. So the first one, the group will meet at the back of the Warburton Water Wheel Centre, and which is the site of the old railway station. They will then have a 10 or so minute play and a bit of an introduction to the whole walk. From that point, they'll walk through the main street of Warburton and head down to where the RSL is, which is sort of opposite the Alpine Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll pass the old Martyrs bus depot at that point and a few other historical sites.
Yep.
And there'll be another vignette put on there or small play.
Yep.
And I think that one is to do with the Second World War at that point.
Yeah.
So they're themed, these little plays, as it goes along. And then there'll be the third theatric play put on at St Mary's. So quite interesting the way it's being done. And in amongst all of that, there's the little projector company as well, which is why it's being done at night time.
Oh, so it's a night walk, is it?
It's a night walk or an evening walk, done after dark. So the projector company can actually use backgrounds of buildings and the likes and project historical images that we've supplied to them for the walk.
So, Lee, when's that happening?
It's on the 15th and 16th of March.
15th, 16th of March, yeah.
From
what time,
7:20 for a start at 7:40.
7:20 to it. And where do they start off from?
So at the back of the Waterwheel Centre at Warburton.
Yeah.
Tickets can be obviously purchased via our website, which is the upyarramuseum.org.au.
Oh, it's the Upper Yarra Museum.
Yes, the website is. So so if you go to our website, you can purchase the tickets through that. It should be a very interesting. It's the first time we've tried anything like this, and it's with a great thanks to one of our volunteers, Layla, who's put huge amounts of time and effort into organising it.
Yep.
And as you said, we tried to do this last year based around push bikes, but it just didn't quite work.
Did it?
So, no. Oh, and numbers weren't there, so it was decided we needed to rehash the event, try a slightly different format, and this seems to be a much better way to head. So,
when you say it's on the 15th and 16th, are they the same walk?
Like, yes.
It's not like you've got to do the 2 days?
No, definitely not.
Yep. And what cost is involved?
Like? It's $5 for adults, so it's very cheap.
Gee, that's cheap, isn't it?
$5 for adults, $2 for kids, and there is a bit of catering at the end there, so you just need to let us know if you have any dietary requirements so we can supply some tucker for you at the end of the wander.
And how long do you expect it's going to take?
I think they're thinking it will be about a two-hour walk.
Oh, that'd be all right.
So, yeah, it should be, it's about 2 hours. It may go a little bit longer.
Depends on how quick people walk, too.
That and the weather. If it's raining, they probably won't want to stand around and yak too long.
That's true. I guess apart from everything else, apart from having a bit of a good time, like, not everybody knows everything about Auburn, do they?
No, and that's the point of the walk, is this step through the past, is to give people a bit of an idea of tourism in Warburton through the 1950s, life in Warburton during that 1950s era as well.
Yep.
And then, of course, the war part down near the RSL. So, and that'll be a bit of, that's where the play comes into it, just to put a bit of, more of a personal touch onto it. So they'll use a couple of the soldiers' letters. One of those will probably be read as a part of the play.
Oh, yeah.
So it should have quite a heartfelt note to it, you know, as in that it's tied to local people.
Yeah.
So the letters are from local people, all the footage and that still photographs are local photographs.
And they've been supplied by the museum.
Yeah, of course.
So they're all genuine photos, aren't they?
Yeah, they certainly are.
All right, we're going to take one more quick break and we'll be back with more.
They don't cry, my girl. an alibi. Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't.
Just a quick reminder that 3 o'clock, Greg Carrick will throw me out of the studio. And straight after 3 o'clock news, you'll hear from him with the Oz Indie Show. Always a terrific show, always new Australian music. So you can't do much better than that. So be listening, stay straight on. Listen to us until 3 o'clock, listen to the news, and then listen to Greg. Now, Lee, one of the things that the Upper Yarra Historical Society stroke museum do well is crank up. I've been to it a number of times. Now, I'll bet you got one coming up this year. If so, when, Grant?
We certainly do, Alan. Crank Up's been running for us for over 40 years, so it's one of the longest.
40 years?
Yeah, so it was started in the late 70s, or early 70s, sorry.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's one of the longest running local events, of course. Crank Up is on this year again, as always and expected, on April the 6th and 7th, with the Woodchop event on the Sunday, on the 7th. Car show and a few other things that are just being finalised on for the Saturday.
So, the car show's on the Saturday.
Yeah, so there'll be the car show on the Saturday. Vintage trucks will be there on the Sunday to fill up the spot where the cars won't be on the Sunday for the wood chop.
Yep.
Of course, we'll have the normal rides for kids, and I'm pretty sure the donkeys will turn up. I'm hoping the donkeys turn up after the turnout they had the other week there at Westburn. They did very well.
And you often have an old bus, don't you? That people.
Yep. We're hoping that we've been working on trying to get the bus in again for this year so people can jump on the bus and go for a bit of a wander around town. And hopefully we'll do a history tour on that as well so they can jump on the bus.
And, of course, and the steamroller?
Steamroller and the traction engines will be there as well. The boys love coming over. They're over from Bullen every year. So
how do they get the steamroller there?
They truck them over, usually drop them at Gladysdale a couple of days beforehand. They've got a property up there they drop them off at and fire them up on Friday afternoon and drive them down the road, which sort of lets most of the people in Yarra Junction know that the event's coming.
So what would have, pardon me, what would one of those steamrollers weigh?
12, 15 tonnes. Yeah, the smaller model, and then you can go well up into over 30 tonnes. So, but you know, you only want to have anything on the back of your truck at about 12 to 15 tonnes. That's big enough to haul around and to deal with on site.
Well, particularly with our roads.
Yeah, that's right. You know, mind you, I'd think running the steamroller down the roads at the moment probably wouldn't be a bad thing in some spots. It might smooth them out a bit more.
Yeah, that's probably a bit true too.
So, Crank Up, of course, yes, we'll be back on this year on the 6th and 7th of April with all its normal events and hopefully a few more to drag people in, a few more of the old trades we're trying to get in and the likes. So no promises of what we'll have quite yet because it takes time to get these events. Even though we've been going 40 years, it just takes time to pull it together.
Well, when you say you've got a car show on the Saturday, are they a particular group that come along or just people bring along their old cars?
Well, both. So we have a local fellow that lots of people would know, Mr. Excited, Glenn.
I know of Glenn.
So Glenn does the initial organising for us to get the car show up and running and sorts out the trophies and does all that sort of stuff for us. And then, of course, it's an open invite. So anyone locally with an old car is more than welcome to turn up on the Saturday for the car show. Or if they want to come on Sunday, they're more than welcome to turn up on the Sunday and put their car there for display as well.
I must try and get Glenn in one day because he runs them down at the Burvale pub, I think.
Everywhere.
All over the place.
Absolutely everywhere.
So I don't know how the guy ever gets time to work or live. I follow him on Facebook and he's always got stuff
to him. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he had his Christmas cars and coffee run in late December last year, and they actually went from the York and ended up at the Upper Yarra Museum. So,
did he?
Yeah, and we ended up with about 60 or 70 cars all around the museum on the Sunday. So.
And his own car is that beautiful red and white Chev, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful Chev Bel Air. That's
when we were at Wurrialik, I could sit in the studio on a Sunday and I'd often see him go to shops or something in there, and I didn't know who it was, and I started following this group on Facebook, and all of a sudden I found out it was his own car. It's a beautiful car.
Yeah, absolutely lovely car, and a great fella. You know, he's very community minded and very happy to put in and get that event going.
He's got a young family, though. I don't know how he ever spends time at home.
Between that and normal work, be hard.
Oh, I don't know how he ever finds time to work, but I'll try and get him in one day. So, it would be an interesting guy to talk to.
Yeah, that and the other new thing that we put in last year to crank up on the Saturday was a blues band. So we get a couple of fellas from down the city.
Yep.
They are called the Blue Suede Kings. So they started last year on the Saturday, and they'll definitely be here Saturday, and we're hoping we can get them in for the Sunday this year as well.
That'd be terrific.
A bit of live music around the site.
So what do you think, and this is an unfair question, but we're going to ask it just the same, what, from your point of view, what's going to be some of the best exhibits on the Crank Up?
Yeah, well, being a machinery man, I struggle to go past some rather large steam engines and well-restored engines, which I think most of us can appreciate.
Yep.
I think it's pretty hard to pick a favourite.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, it is, because I think each display has its own value, you know, in historical or show terms. So if you're into the horses, well, of course, you will appreciate seeing the draft horses there. And, of course, they don't work on our ground because we don't have the space for them to open the ground up and actually work. But if you're a horse person, you enjoy seeing those horses. If you're into machinery, you enjoy the machinery side of it. And that's why we've tried to expand the event as much as we possibly can. Of course, we have some physical restrictions in the size of the plot we're on.
Sure.
But just so there's a bit of something for everyone, a bit like our museum. It's quite eclectic.
Yep.
And there's a bit of something for everyone.
Lee, I've got to ask, you've talked about some of this stuff being restored, does the museum restore anything themselves, or they just get what they get and show?
We restore some stuff, but it's usually only light restoration.
Right. Like if it needed painted or something like
slight restoration of some furniture, but most of the stuff we have received or taken on is either not in need of restoration or wouldn't be restored because of what it is. I myself am a firm believer that if a historical item is presentable in what I would term as working clothes, in original condition, it should be left as such, because it's only in original condition once.
Yes, that's
true. Once you restore it, it's just the same as every other restored item. So
I was talking to a guy one day, and he had an old car, and he said to me, "I don't want to paint it, because then it's no longer how it left the showroom." Yep. Even though the paint on it was pretty poor, and the interior was average, he just said that once it's restored, it doesn't have the same historical value.
Not at all. I mean, and cars are good item to pick there. We have a 1924 Willys Overland Ute in the museum collection that was left to us by a local man with his house. We couldn't pick the house and move it, though, pick it up, because they had no floor left in the house. But that ute, we can start it and run it.
Yep.
But it needs a lot of restoration. You know, the body's got quite a bit of rust, but it's we will never restore it. It's left as Bob Logan's ute, the same as it was when he donated it.
Well, I guess coming back, then it's no longer Bob Logan's ute.
That's exactly right. And that's why it was deemed back in the 80s when it was donated to the museum that it would never be restored. We would mechanically fix it. So occasionally I do start it up and take it for a little drive in the backyard just to keep it moving and running. But other than that, it'll never actually have a full restoration. So
can't do
that. What we want.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
I pretend that I'm happy, but
I guess this is a bit hard to ask the question, but what sort of response are we taught, do you think you're going to get for the step into the past? Seeing you've never done it before, have you got any ideas?
To be honest, probably no is the honest answer, but we could only hope that it drives a bit of interest, especially within the Warburton community itself. Yep. Because there's quite a lot of people that live in don't live in Warburton, but own houses in Warburton. Because Warburton has quite a high holiday house population.
Oh, does it? Still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one could only hope that it just drives a little bit of that interest in the local history, and then we could only hope that a little bit of that interest comes back to people wanting to volunteer and become members of the Historical Society
and
of the museum
involved
itself.
So I know we've gone back a little bit, but who came up with the idea of this step into the past?
I must blame Layla for that. Layla's very keen to push us forward in the eyes of the community and also get the Historical Society to, I suppose, work outside of our boundaries, our physical boundaries.
And I guess
boundaries.
Interact a bit more with society.
With the local community, which is very hard. I mean, with such a large museum and quite a small committee, we spend a lot of time just maintaining the museum and doing Historical Society stuff. So getting out into the community can be quite an arduous task. So to have someone come in with fresh ideas, fresh eyes, and be willing to put the time and effort in on our behalf saves a huge amount of time and work for the existing volunteers that are already they've got enough on their plates.
And I guess, and one of the things that we found out when I started this show about over 6 years ago, we've actually had quite a number of people ring up about different people that I've interviewed, different organisations, and we've had people from all sorts of lengths of time. I think the longest one's been 25 years, where they said, didn't even know that existed.
That does not surprise me at all. The amount of people that we still have walk into the museum that tell us that they've lived in the area for 30 years and they've never walked into the museum before.
I'm not surprised.
So,
and the other thing too that can very easily happen, and I know I talk about this often on the show, people could live here even if they haven't got a holiday house, they just live here permanent. But you get up in the morning, you go to work, which might be down Lilydale or Ringwood or Moorabbark. You come home at night, often particularly during winter, you leave in the dark, you cut home nearly in the dark, you have your tea, watch a bit of telly and that day's over. Weekends, by the time you take the kids to sport, do the lawns, couple of things, weekend's gone, and you don't necessarily look around your own backyard.
No, and I think that's very true, that most of us don't look for the touristy things to do at home.
No,
because you haven't got time when you're at home. You got to mow that lawn. So, and I think that is very, very true. So, trying to get locals involved in something like that, and the Historical Society, we have a lot of fun down there doing our volunteering, whether it's the restoration of photographs or machinery or, some of the arduous tasks, of course, with a place like that, it needs cleaning occasionally, like a large house that you have to give it a bit of a scrub up from now and then. But there's lots and lots of things to do in a Historical Society and or museum just to keep the place ticking along, looking presentable, restoring items and bringing them back to life so people can see what those items were supposed to do and what they once looked like, hopefully, in their working clothes.
Yep.
But, there's lots of things to do.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. And if we've got you excited, which I hope you have, Lee's going to have some contact details, how you find out a bit more about the organisation. Maybe you want to go and visit. Maybe we've twigged it that you might want to go and volunteer. So Lee will have all the contact details straight after this break.
Things go wrong, and you know you're not talking to the air, to the air. And the world will look better from up there. Speak to the sky, 'cause things can get you down, and you know when you're talking to the Lord. And if I stumble and it's
with the road I'm on seems awful hard to find. And though my conversation doesn't always rhyme, I always try to find some time to speak to the sky and tell you how I feel. And you know, sometimes what I say ain't right. It's alright, I speak to the sky every night. Oh. And if I stumble and it seems that I am blind,
and I should say, next week I'll be back, of course. I'll be here on Sunday, as I said, between 12 and 3 with Music, Memories and More, and then back between 6 and 8 with the Rock and Roll Hit Parade. But next Wednesday, I've got to remember Wednesday, I can't remember who the first interview is, but we've got our private detective. He's always good, tells us a bit about what's going on. He's had Christmas to do some homework, so we'll have them on next week. And then, of course, the week after, we've got, apart from two interviews, well, our legal hour will be on that week between 1 and 2, and that'll be followed up, of course, by Choice Tunes. We've got a lady. Oh, I'd never tell you who it is, but I'll let it slip. But anyway, and we'll be getting those songs, and we'll find out a lot about her life, and I think it's going to be very interesting. But anyway, hopefully we've tweaked something that I, first of all, want you to get involved as a volunteer. I know Lee would love that. But if not, just remember that it is open twice a week, and it would be terrific to go and have a look. And I know a lot of people, if they've got a Sunday afternoon, they look up somewhere and see where we can go, but you often don't look at your own backyard. You often go off somewhere else and forgetting what's on. So, Lee, tell us how we can get involved.
Oh, we've got many contact options here. So, of course, we've got the traditional old phone number. So we can always be contacted on phone, and please leave a message if you ring the museum number, which is 59672167. That's 59672167. We have the email, so you can get us on the email, which is UYVHS, which is Upper Yarra Valley Historical Society, short form, info@gmail.com. So I'll give that again, Ben, that's a bit confusing. Yeah. That's UYVHS.info@gmail.com. And of course, Facebook. So it's the normal old Facebook / the Upper Yarra Museum.
And I guess with any of these, particularly if you just got on Facebook and Google the Upper Yarra Historical Society, you'll find out.
And that'll take you to our normal website, which is the upperyarramuseum.org.au. So plenty of contact options there, and we'd always be very happy to hear from anybody, whether it's for, as you said, volunteering or just to pop in for a visit. Yep. Always happy to see a visitor.
Now, your open hours again?
Is from 10 till 4 on Sundays.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Yep.
And 11 till 3 on Wednesdays. So the volunteers are there for longer on Wednesday, but the opening hours for the museum, so the volunteers can try and do some work, is reduced a little bit, and it's 11 till 3. So
sounds good to me. Lee, and again, we just need to mention the Step Into the Past on the 15th and 16th of March.
Yep.
7:20. At
the back of the Waterwheel Centre at Warburton, which is the info centre, the tourist info centre.
Yep.
And that'll run through till about for two and a half hours, something like that.
Yep.
It's not 100%.
Well, it depends on how quick people walk and how long it takes to look.
Yep. So, and the weather may play. I mean, hopefully the weather will be kind to us that time of year. And, of course, then we've got Crank Up coming on the 6th and 7th of April. So. Yep. It'll be a busy couple of months for us down at the Historical Society, but it's a good time of year to be involved with something like this and just see what a small band of volunteers can do with a bit of time and effort.
And over a big collection time.
Yes, yes.
And one of the things that I always stress, because I love old cars, is that on the Saturday there's going to be an old car display, and on the Sunday there'll be an old truck display.
Yes.
It's amazing in these areas how many old cars and trucks are sitting in sheds, aren't they?
It is quite surprising when you drive down a road somewhere and you go, I didn't know they had a car hiding in there. So
it really is. So it's, again, the 15th and 16th of March, which is Step Into the Past, down 7:20. Get to the Waterwheel, but you need to buy some tickets first.
Yeah, get onto the website first and purchase a ticket.
Which is...
on the Up Yarra, the upyarramuseum.org.au.
Yep.
And you'll find the...
link there?
The link. I was just looking on it. It must be in the What's On area. So go into the What's On and then you'll find the link to the Step Into the Past.
And it's only $5 for adults, $2 for children. So it's not an expensive night.
Very cheap evening out for everyone.
And that's at 7:20 and Crank Up 6th and 7th of April. It's going to be a terrific day. We hope the weather looks after you. Do you have any other events coming up during the year or that?
No, that's usually there. Yeah, we try to sometimes get this second event in, depends what it is. But one major event's usually enough for us through the year. So
it's good. Lee, you don't run different themes during the year, do you, at the museum? It's basically you come to the museum and have a really good look.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you've got your active blacksmith. So blacksmith works in the blacksmith shop every Sunday. There's one or two of them banging away down the shed. Yep.
Right.
So Dale, our resident blacksmith, he runs it as a part of his business. So it is a full-time run. He's got power hammers and all sorts of stuff down there now. Right. Quite a well-set-up blacksmith shop. It is a... old school museum, so there's not a lot running on site.
Yep.
There's lots to look at. Lots to look at.
Sounds good. Lee, look, thanks for coming in. It's been a terrific hour. And if you've got a weekend on a Sunday, pop down, because as I say, very often when people are looking for something to do, they look for tourist attractions that are miles away, when in fact some of the greatest attractions are down in their own backyard.
Yeah, my oath, yep. And there's plenty of people always heading up to Warburton for a coffee on Sunday morning, so
yeah, some nice coffee
on their
shops.
Way back, pop in and have a look through the museum.
There's some pretty good coffee shops up there, isn't it? Lee, I've got to go. News is coming along. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you later on.
Thank you again, Alan.
Thanks, Lee.